Hello, and welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Harvest Church here in Elk Grove. We're excited to have you join us as we share God's message of hope and love. Each week, we bring you a new message from our pastors and guest speakers designed to inspire, uplift your spirits, and challenge you. Whether you're listening on your commute, at home, or on a walk, we hope these messages will bring you closer to God and help you on your faith journey. So without further ado, let's listen in.
You know, one of the things that has amazed me about the Bible is that the Bible speaks of things thousands of years ago and throughout history, and then modern day scientists have captured what the Bible said thousands of years ago. There's a book called The Growth Mindset by a psychologist. She's a professor at Stanford called Carolyn Dweck. I've read this book and listened to it on audiobook. But she talks about two mindsets. She talks about first the growth mindset, and then she speaks about a fixed mindset. And the growth mindset sees problems and challenges and difficulties as opportunities for growth. The fixed mindset says, this is the way it's always been. This is the way it's always been done, and I do not want to change. But the one thing that I want to talk to you as it pertains to Jabez is Jabez did not have a fixed mindset, but he had a growth mindset. Pastor John, what are you talking about today? I'm talking about that he was given a set of circumstances that were not favorable for his life. And instead of him looking at himself as a victim and feeling like things could not change, he saw his situation as an opportunity to go to the one who had the power to change his situation and allow God to step in and give him an entirely new destiny. Well, you need to understand the reason why this is important is because it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've experienced. It doesn't matter what you faced in life. If you can take a bad circumstance or an unfavorable circumstance or a difficult circumstance and put it into the hand of God, you can be just like Jabez. Amen? Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding this morning. The Bible says that Jabez went to the God of Israel, and he prayed this prayer. He said, I pray, O Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would expand my territory, that your hand would be upon me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. For those of you who do not know, the name Jabez means pain. Look at your neighbor and say, pain. We don't know from history if his birthing experience was so traumatic to his mother that his mother named him after what he experienced. I don't know if the mother almost died and he almost died in the birthing experience. They didn't have modern day medical, so you couldn't go to the doctor and have the doctor perform a C-section. Maybe something was so traumatic in this woman's experience that she named him after her experience. And the Hebrew name was also connected to a person's destiny. That's the reason why when God told Abraham, no longer will you be called Abram, which means exalted father, but you will be called Abraham, which means father of nations, even though Abraham did not have a child. Why? Because God in Hebrew always named people after their destiny. And unfortunately, Jabez was named after something that was traumatic. But instead of him having a fixed mindset and saying, well, my life is always going to be filled with pain and I'm always going to experience pain and people are always going to look at me as a negative, he said, I know how to go to and get to the one who has the power to change my destiny and move me from a place of pain into a place of purpose. People with a fixed mindset say, well, that's how it's always been. That's how it's always be. That's the way that we've always been. We've always been that way. And you know what? Guess what? You get the privilege to stay that way if you so choose. Broke up, busted, bitter, angry, disgruntled, mean, looking at people like you've been sucking a bag of lemons. Come on, somebody. You can choose to live that life. But Jabez said, that's not the life I'm going to live. I'm going to go to the God of Israel, and I'm going to pray and see if he has the power to change my destiny. I'm going to go to the one who has the ability to shift me from pain into purpose. I'm going to go to the one who has the ability to take me from devastation into phenomenal, astronomical opportunity. Amen. So the story of Jabez is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. And here's the thing. He has these two or three verses out of nowhere because there was something about his faith and his trust in God that caused God to have the writer of the book of Chronicles write down his little story. And we have the opportunity to read and study it today. I want to give you our text for this morning. This is part eight, which is talking about the hand of God. Now, we've hit three parts of the hand of God, and this is the final part. And then next week, we're going to, when he prayed that the Lord would keep him from evil, we'll hit those for the last 2 weeks. So 2 Chronicles 16, 9, and part A says this, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Do you know that God is scanning? You ever saw those globes that spin around that you can twist them and then they'll spin around? Anyone seen those old globes? Amen. Anyone over the age of 40, you know, you had one of those in your classroom? You young kids, you don't know what those look like. You just see them on the line, but back in the day, for the people who are over 40, there used to be these globes, and you could spin them around, and it would show all the nations of the earth. I could imagine God spinning around the world and looking, saying, can I just find someone in this generation who's fully committed to me? Because if I find that person, what I'm going to do through them will touch generations and nations. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I'm going to talk to you about the power of God today, or the hand of God. The power of God is often symbolized by the hand of God. This metaphorical hand represents God's ability to act and intervene in our lives. So when we talk about God's hand or the power of God, we're talking about God divinely intervening in our lives and in our situations. When God wants to exercise his power, he stretches forth his hand. Also, in everything God did, he desired to receive glory for it. Another way to say this is God wants to receive credit for what he does. Amen. When God does something, he wants his creation to acknowledge him for what he does. Even when Jesus was walking the earth and the Pharisees tried to accuse him and say, why are the people worshiping you and exalting you? And Jesus literally made the statement. He said, if they don't worship me, then the rocks will cry out and lift up and exalt me. Because all of creation was created to give God glory. But how much more when we choose to give God glory, will he be pleased with it? Bruce Wilkinson said, the more we link his hand to his glory, the more frequently he will use his hand, because we will not misuse his hand for self-glory. In other words, if we avoid taking credit for what God does and give him maximum glory for his achievement in our lives and situations, then God will allow us to see and experience his hand mightily. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone that's going to bring him glory. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone who's fully committed to him, so that his hand or his strength can be exerted to support and to help that person, because they are committed to exalting and glorifying his name. We live in this Instagram, TikTok generation where everybody's trying to become TikTok famous or Instagram famous, or wants to be an Instagram model or influencer, because that's all about us. But Jesus, the God that we serve, says, if you can stop trying to be TikTok famous and you can make Jesus famous, then I will send my powerful hand to support you and to help you and to back you to fulfill my purpose, because you want to see me exalted and glorified. And if we see weakness in the church, it's not because God doesn't have the ability to back us. It's just that we don't have enough people that's trying to give him glory, that we're trying to steal and rob glory. Now, come on now. Don't get quiet. Come on now. I was coming back. I don't know if it was the Sac River. I was coming back from West Sac, and I hit the river. And I drove up, and I couldn't believe it, but there was a peacock on side of the road along the levee. And I said, oh, my goodness, I didn't know peacocks just walked around, you know. I've been seeing the wild turkeys running around, but, I mean, that was my first time just seeing a random peacock. And see, the thing about a peacock is a peacock spreads its feathers and flutters its feathers because all the peacock wants to do is have you say, look at me. Amen. And see, God's trying to get rid of peacockism in Christianity. Look at your neighbor and say, baby, it's not about you. It's not about you. God's trying to get us to stop strutting around and bring him some glory, because if we would bring God glory, his hand, his power would be with his church. So I want to give you 5 steps to experience the hand of God. Step number one, and these are powerful steps, and this is from Bruce Wilkinson teaching on the prayer of Jabez. Number one is to believe that the purpose of God's hand is for his glory and our good. Amen? The purpose of God's hand is for his glory and our good. Romans 8, 38 and 39 in the NLT says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. He said, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That is so important, because you need to understand that no matter what the devil tries to send against you, it cannot separate you or divide you from God's love. But one of the things that he's always trying to do, just like the book of Job, is to make us question whether God's concerned about us based upon the circumstances and the difficulties that we face. And it's the same thing like Jabez. It's like, I'm in a bad situation. God, where are you? God is always there, and he's always available, but are we always asking and calling upon his name? Amen. See, because it's easy to call Sister Bucket Mouth and have a sideways conversation about nonsense that Sister Bucket Mouth can't do nothing about. But if we would stop calling folks up and gossiping and begin calling upon the Lord and say, Lord, here's my situation, here's my circumstance, this is what I'm dealing with, then we would see the hand of God step into impossible situations and intervene, and we would experience and feel the love of God. No one has ever got off the phone with Sister Bucket Mouth and felt edified, encouraged, and lifted up. I'm just saying. You only got off the phone more disgruntled, more angry, and more bitter than you were before that conversation, because that's all Sister Bucket Mouth can give to you. But if you would call upon the Lord will let you know that he loves you, that he is for you, that if he be for you, then who can be against you? That God will strengthen you, he will encourage you, he will empower you, he will lift you up, he will bless you, he will bring you through impossible situations. That's the reason why Paul said nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even hell itself. Hallelujah. Come on. It's time to stop cooperating and working with the devil and giving him so much ammunition to use against the purposes and plans of God for our lives. It says, no power in the sky above or on the earth below, indeed, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a promise. That's not a suggestion. That's not a motivational thought. That is a promise from heaven that says that nothing can separate us from God's love. The family life, the faith life study Bible says this. Paul ends this chapter by emphasizing how believers can look forward to Christ's ultimate victory over earthly suffering and supernatural oppression. God's plan of salvation has resulted in total victory, and nothing in heaven or on earth can separate believers from the love of God in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number two, the second way that we can experience the hand of God is to rest in the protection of God, including his timing and his choices. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows what he's doing. And let me just tell you, you are not that smart. I'm sorry. I know I hurt your feelings. I know just because you got onto the Jeopardy, the app on your phone, and you are like a master Jeopardy player, and you think you're smart. You're not that smart, because God knows what he's doing. And even when we fail, God does not fail. Amen. Praise God. Daniel 3:17-18 says this. This is God resting in the protection of God, including his timing and choices. These are the three Hebrew boys. Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Babylon, decided to make this golden idol. And in those days, the greater your temple or the idols you worship, the greater your influence in that region. And he made an idol that people could see from all over the area when you drove into town, into Babylon. And he told everybody that when I make this idol, we're going to play music. I'm going to have the satanic worship team get up, and they're going to begin playing their instruments. And he said, when you see the idol and you hear the music, you have to bow down and worship this idol. But these three Hebrew boys, who were fully committed to their God, who God's hand was upon and he strengthened, said, we will not bow our knee to any other God but the one who created us, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when they were confronted by Nebuchadnezzar, this is what he did in verse 17. He threw them into the blazing furnace, but this is what they said. They said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. They did not let their circumstance dictate the confession of their mouth. Oh, that was revelation. I dropped the bar right there. They did not let their circumstance dictate the confession of their mouth. They didn't say, oh, my God, we're going to die. Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy us. They said, no. They said that we're thrown into the furnace. The God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. They weren't disrespectful. They still acknowledged that Nebuchadnezzar was the king over Babylon. They said, but even if he does it, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods, worship the gold statue you have set up. Come on, that's full commitment. That's full commitment. Lord, even when it's inconvenience, I'm going to worship you. Even when the people at my job and my work don't like it, I'm going to worship you. Even when the heathens that live next door to me hear me with my worship music playing, I'm going to worship you. I'm not going to let somebody else dictate my worship and how I give glory to my God and my King. Come on. Taylor Swift said that hate is going to hate. Just shake it off. Shake it off, amen? I don't like all that worship stuff. That's fine, but I'm not going to stop worshiping him just because you got an issue with it. Genesis 50:20 said this. This is so powerful. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers who sold him into slavery and then just tried to destroy his life. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. See, what you need to understand about the hand of God is God's protection can be upon you in his timing and his choices. That means that God will move when he knows it is the right time to move, where he can receive maximum glory. God was not going to get the highest level of glory when they were first thrown in the furnace, or they were threatened to be thrown in the furnace. God wasn't going to get the maximum glory when Joseph was sold into slavery, but God got the maximum glory when it seemed like they were in the worst situation, and he showed up like Superman to save the day so that everyone around would see that it was by the hand of God that the three Hebrew boys made it out alive, and that Joseph, who was once a slave and a convicted felon, is now the prime minister of the most powerful nation in the world, because it was by the hand of God and his divine timing that God put him in the place he was supposed to be. Amen. See, one of the things that we need to understand about God is not on our timeline. The spirit of impatience kills so many divine opportunities because we go ahead of God the same way that Abraham and Sarah went ahead of God and say, well, God, you're not giving us what we want or what you promised us in the time we wanted it. So we're going to just start birthing Ishmaels and making messes all over the place instead of allowing you to be God and put things in the timing they're supposed to be. That's why I said God knows what he's doing. And then we are not that smart. God, let me help you out. This seems like you're struggling over there. We can get this baby made, Lord. We're going to help you out. God's like, no thanks. No thank you. I don't need you to make a bigger mess than what already exists. Amen. Come on, my wife is a great cook. Praise the Lord. But she hasn't cooked she's walking out right now. Amen. She's a great cook. And I am not a great cook. Amen. And it's so funny. The few times I try to go in the kitchen to try to tell her what to do, she looks at me like, are you for real? Do you know where the pots are at? I'm like, no, I don't. So how are you going to tell me how to do what I'm doing and you don't even know what you're doing in the kitchen? Amen. And it's the same way we try to tell God what he's doing when we don't even know what's going on. But God, I can help you out if you really give me the opportunity to show you that you really don't know what you're doing. Look at your neighbor and say, come on, man. Come on, man. God is trying to show himself mighty if we can be patient enough and allow the plans and purposes of God to unfold. God will deliver us in his divine timing. But you have to understand, a part of the timing of God is patience on the part of the recipient, because the story has to unfold so that God can get the highest level of glory. Amen? Look at your neighbor, say, God knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Number three, the third way that we can see and experience the hand of God is to rehearse the past acts of God to rekindle and increase our faith. See, this is one of the things that God said in the Bible. He always created scenarios where he moved supernaturally, and then he would tell the people of Israel to remember what I did before, because if you know I did it before, I will do it again. Amen? The reason that God destroyed Pharaoh and delivered 4 million people from Egyptian bondage is because Pharaoh in Egypt was the strongest nation in the world. Pharaoh had the greatest army and military in the world, and they were defeated, and Israel didn't raise one sword, one shield, or one spear. They were defeated by the hand of God. And God always told them, he said, whenever in the future you face an impossible or difficult situation, remember what I did back then. Because if I did it then, I will do it again. Amen? You have to remember what God did in the past. When you are going through a tough time, say, God, you did it then. You're going to do it when? Amen. You got to remind yourself sometimes. You can't have amnesia and forget that God helped you out in a difficult time. God, you did it then. You're going to do it? Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 78:4 says this. It says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Verse 7, so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his command. Basically, the psalmist was saying, we have to let the next generation know what he's done in our lives. And if he did it for us, he will do it for you. If he delivered before, he will deliver now. Amen. Amen. Come on, David practiced this in 1 Samuel 17:34. It says, but David said to Saul, and this is the thing, this is what you have to remember. People who are chicken-hearted will try to put that chicken-hearted spirit on you as well. They're scared, so they're going to try to put that spirit of fear on you. They don't have the guts to go out and do what God has called them to do. So they're going to try to put their insecurities and inferiorities on you as well. And Saul would not go and face Goliath. So he was trying to put that on David. But this is what David said, because David understood who his God was. He said to Saul, he said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, he said, I went after it. Now, I want to let you know something. I didn't get a chance to see a bear in Lake Tahoe, but I will see one soon. Amen. But I did see a lion in the jungles of Kenya. And I want to tell you this. I would not, under no circumstances, go after a lion trying to retrieve anything that's worth $50. I've been like, Dad, listen, I was an irresponsible son because a lion came and ate up one of your sheep. And he just didn't make it back to the flock today. I'm pilot. Look, you can, what's the money you give your kids? And say, Dad, you can have my allowance. I didn't bring your sheep back today. He said, when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, he said, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. You know what David was? David was a man who knew how to access the power of God in any circumstance and situation that he was in. And when he did it with the lion, he did it with the bear, he was confident that he could also do it with Goliath. Your previous struggles have been your training ground for your current situation. Woo! Your previous struggles have been the training ground for your current situation. God is not wasting trials in your life. God is not wasting difficulties in your life. God is not wasting challenges in your life. God is not wasting what you are going through. The problem or the question is, do you have eyes to see what he's trying to teach you in your current situation? Because he's preparing you to step into your next situation. Your promotion ahead of you is predicated with how you deal with that which is before you right now. Amen. David understood, I slayed the lion, I slayed the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like him because I've been prepared for this moment. David was like, my whole life, I've been raised up so I could cut Goliath's head off and march around the city like a champion glorifying my God. Every time I go through a challenge, literally, I pray this prayer. I say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And I pray that you would get glory from this situation. I want to learn. I don't want to go through this and it be wasted. I want to learn from this experience. And then, Lord, use it to bring glory to your name. If you could do those two things, your life will radically change. I can't believe this is happening to me. This is so sad. My life is so terrible. God said, I'm trying to bring you into a promotion and you don't even have eyes to see what I'm doing in you. Oh, yeah. Amen. Come on, brother. I'm trying to tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I pray that you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive. Everything. Everyone say everything. The Bible says he causes all things to work together for our good. That means that every situation you are in, no matter how bad, God is trying to do something through it. But do you have the eyes to see what the Lord is trying to teach you? Do you have eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is trying to impart through you? Your growth happens in difficult times. Do you know the cedars of Lebanon, which is their national tree and is found all throughout the Bible, the cedar of Lebanon literally has its biggest points of growth in times of storm. A cedar, literally, its root system can grow 2 inches with one really good storm. It does not grow like that under any other circumstance. In your storm, God is trying to push your roots deeper down in His Word, in His Spirit, in faith, dependency, trust in Him. Amen? When the storm comes, that's the opportunity to say, God, thank you for growing me. God, thank you for maturing me. Thank you for developing me. Thank you for making me tougher. Thank you for imparting and depositing something in me that didn't exist previous to this storm. God, thank you for what you're doing in my life, because you're producing glory through my life as I walk through this. Amen. I don't want a Christianity that every time something happens, people complaining and acting like they can't survive anything. I want a Christianity that when people walk through it, they're saying, God is with me. God's hand is upon my life. I'm going to survive this, and not only survive it, but I'm going to thrive and overcome in it. That's the Christianity that I want. Amen. Come on. That's the Christianity that's the witness to the unbeliever, that they say, how did you survive that? By the hand of my God. Yes, I might have been birthed in pain, but God has blessed me indeed. He's expanded my territory. His hand is upon me, and He's keeping me from evil. God is doing stuff in my life I could have never imagined, because He's putting me in circumstances where He's going to get all the glory through everything I face and everything I deal with. I will not be shaken, because those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They will not be shaken. They will not be moved. They will not be rattled just by a little bit of difficulty and challenge. This is what Christianity is about. It's not motivational speaking. It's not feel-good emotions. It has been grounded and rooted in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. This stuff is real because He is real. By the hand of our God, we shall prevail. By the hand of our God, we will overcome. By the hand of our God, we will conquer and be victorious. By the hand of our God, we will triumph. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Will not be shaken. Will not be shaken. Will not be shaken. Come on, Goliath, you step out here. I'm leaving with your head, dog. Don't step on this battlefield. I'm just saying, they're going to be carrying your body away, because I'm leaving with your head. Why did he say it? Because David knew who his God was, and God was proven in his life in difficult times. Number four. The fourth way we can see the hand of God is be filled with the power of God for boldness and wisdom in ministry. Luke 24:48 says this, "You are witnesses of all these things, and now I send the Holy Spirit just as the Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Acts 1:8, "But when you receive power, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Acts 11:21, "And the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord." The greater the hand of God is upon you through the power of the Holy Spirit, the more lives you will touch and the more people will be saved. Amen. God's hand is also upon the church to preach this gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Atheists do not stand the chance. Agnostics do not stand the chance. And I'm not saying this because I'm hating on them. I'm just saying if they're in opposition to the gospel we are preaching, they don't stand a chance, because no philosophy or ideology can stand against the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit hovered over the deep. And when the Father spoke, the Holy Spirit started creating what the Father declared. Do you think somebody that read a couple of goofy books have the power to stand up against the one that created the universe? I think not. But you have to learn how to cultivate his presence. Amen? That's the key. You have to cultivate the presence and the power of the one who created the universe. But if you do that, then the church becomes unstoppable. In any era and generation, the church failed to do its job, that's when society collapsed. Look through history. But when the church was strong, society thrived. Amen? And the church grew under persecution. That's the reason why underground churches around the world and churches where it's illegal to preach the gospel, they're seeing people saved by the thousands and by the tens of thousands, because the church thrives in times of persecution and difficulty. But the church gets comfortable when we're doing kumbaya parties and I'm all right. I'm going to be good. Praise Jesus. Number five, last point. I'm going to close up. The hand of God is upon us when we can picture the presence of Christ and the angelic host being with us. Amen. Hebrews 13:5b says this. It says, "For God has said, I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. I will not forsake you." So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Amen? Come on. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. The prophet Elijah was telling Israel what the enemy kings were plotting, and the enemy king found out about it, so he sent an entire army to go and capture Elijah. And as it was happening, Elijah's servant got nervous and he was like, oh man, what are we gonna do? This is what it says in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning, went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. And he said, oh sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elijah. Elijah said this, he said, don't be afraid. Look at your neighbor, say, don't be afraid. For there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Come on, the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah were filled with horses and chariots of fire. There were angels with flaming chariots surrounding that mountain, outnumbering the enemy's army 100, 1,000 to 1. And they were ready to just be dispatched at the word of the Lord. Finish reading that story. Elijah and his servant walked out alive, and the enemy armies were captured, all because there were more that was for them than those who were against them. Amen. My prayer for you today is that you would have eyes to see the hand of God and the angelic protection that's surrounding you. Amen. I was in Barnes and Nobles, and there was a young man that was reading witchcraft books, and he was looking at demonic horoscopes and witchcraft stuff in the books he had next to me. He got up to go to the bathroom, and as I was sitting there and I was praying for the guy, I said, Lord, do you want me to say something to him or do something? So when he was coming back from the bathroom, this is what the Lord told me. The Lord says, command the angels to smite the witchcraft in his life right now. We're in the Barnes and Noble in the middle of the day. I said, in the name of Jesus, warring angels, I command you to smite the witchcraft in this man's life. Literally, this is what happened. The guy was walking, And he stopped and he looked at me. Now we're like not even in the same section. He stopped and looked at me the second that I made that command, and then he just started running around the Barnes and Noble. I was like, oh yeah. Woo! I said, this stuff works. Hallelujah. Like, anybody else in here in witchcraft? Have y'all doing a track meet around this Barnes and Noble? You know why? Because there's more that's for us than those who are against us. We just have eyes to see. Amen. God's hand is available to us to carry out any assignment that God has given us, as long as we are diligent to give God glory in all that we do for him. God's power is irresistible, and the church yielded to his purpose is unstoppable. Yes and amen. May the people of Harvest keep God first and remember that we live to bring our King glory. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. We pray that today's message has touched your heart and encouraged your spirit. We believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our lives and inspire us to be better versions of ourselves. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more inspirational messages. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our weekend services and sharing with you once again next week.